Okay, good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Ayin Tes. We're going to pick up on the Mishnah on the bottom of Ayin Chesed Beis. Before we start, this morning's daf Yomi is sponsored by Richard and Judy Noodleman in commemoration of the art set of Richard's father, Jack Noodleman, Yaakov Ben Moshe Tzvi, Zichron Levracha. Our learning this morning should be a schus and an aliyah for his neshama. Okay, so picking up four lines from the bottom at the Mishnah. So the case is as follows. A father, as we know, when his daughter is a katana or a nara, he has the right to marry her off. We've talked about that many times. And in this case, what happened is he, and we've also learned that he can appoint a shliach for this purpose. So he went ahead and he appointed a shliach to marry off his daughter. And then after he did that, he went ahead and found a man who he thought would be good for his daughter, and he went ahead and did kiddushin or did erusin with this second man. So you have a shliach out there with the power to do kiddushin, and you have a father who decided that he wanted to do kiddushin himself. And the question is, what is the halacha in this case? So the Mishnah says, "Im shelo kadmu kiddushav kiddushin." If he got there first, then, meaning that if before the shliach did a kiddushin, that the father did kiddushin, then his kiddushin works. V'yim shel shlucho kadmu, if the shliach got to the person that he was going to do kiddushin with first, before the father did, kiddushav kiddushin, then the shliach's kiddushin is a kiddushin. And the mechanism by which this works, Rashi, on the bottom line, you'll see, says, "Im shelo kadmu kiddushav kiddushin, debatla l'shlichusei d'shliach," that by doing the act of kiddushin, the father essentially was mevatel the shlichus. He nullified the agency that he had with this man. And that's something that has consequences, because it's not just the question of who gets there first, it's the action that the father takes that actually cancels the shlichus. So, if, like, for example, the Mefarshim discuss, we've had this scenario where someone could do kiddushin to someone, say it takes effect in 30 days, and someone else could come ahead and do it in the meantime. So let's say you have that circumstance. The father says he's doing kiddushin for 30 days from now. The shliach then does a kiddushin that's immediate. So normally the shliach's kiddushin would be enough, but Rashi understands that by taking that act, the father is being mevatel the shlichus, and so therefore it doesn't matter what the shliach would do, the father has canceled that shlichus. So in any event, we see that whoever gets there first, their shlichus works. Now what happens? The Mishnah says, if it's not known which of them got there first, so they didn't look at their watch when they did kiddushin, they both get back and say, perfect, I was mekadesh someone, and no one knows now which one came first. So the Mishnah says, top of Ayin Tes Amud Aleph, Shneim Nosen and Get, that both husband or both people that they, the men that they did kiddushin with, need to give a get, because you don't know which of them happened first and took effect. V'imratzu, and if they want, Echad Nosen Get, the Echad Kones. That one of them, if they desire, they don't both need to give a get, one of them could give a get, and then the other person can, in fact, do nisuin and get married to the person, because if it turns out that the person that gets married at the end was the original one, so it was fine. You had kiddushin and then you had nisuin. And if it's the other one who had kiddushin, he's already given a get, and therefore the person is available, for kiddushin and nisuin. So, again, whoever comes first, and if you don't know who came first, they either both need to give a get, or at least one does, and then the second one can get married. The Mishnah continues, the second line, V'chein ha'isha shenosna reshus l'shlucha l'kadsho. This is the opposite case. If a woman gave a shliach reshus to be mekadesh, or basically to accept kiddushin from a man, and so she sent the shliach out there and said, you know, go ahead, you can act for me in accepting kiddushin. V'holcha v'kishas atzma. And then she went ahead and she was mekabel kiddushin from someone else. So the Mishnah says, "Im shelo kadmu kiddusheha kiddushin." If her kiddushin, that she was mekabel kiddushin from a man, happened before the shliach did a kiddushin, then her kiddushin is a valid kiddushin. "Im shel shlucho kadmu." And what happens if the shliach reached the man first and the man gave money for kiddushin? Then the shliach's kiddushin counts. Then kiddushav kiddushin. Then the shliach's kiddushin is there. Now what happens if they don't know which one of them happens first, then shneim nosen lo get, that both men have to give her a get. V'imratzu echad nosen lo get v'echad kones. Then if they want, one of them can give the get and the second one can go ahead and marry her. So we have two cases in a row. One is talking about where the father and a shliach both went out, and then they both did kiddushin, and one is talking about where the woman and her shliach went out and they did kiddushin. So sometimes you have something that's such a glaring question, it doesn't need to be even be asked. And so the Mishnah starts off with tzricha, explaining why you needed both of these cases. It's the exact same case. In one case, it's the father and the shliach. In one case, it's the woman herself and the shliach. The Rishonim say also that there's a second underlying question here, which will be answered by the Gemara's answer, which is, why is this Mishnah coming here? Most of the things we learned about shlichus, we learned earlier in the Masechta, and we thought we finished that. Now we were in this parak on Tasar Yochzin. We're talking about genealogy and who is considered genealogically pure. So why is this Mishnah coming here? So the Rishonim say that the answer is going to answer that as well. But tzricha, you need both cases. The iash minan gabe diday, if you only told me the case by the father, where the father went out and the shliach also went out, mishum de gavro kimle bi yuchzin, that a man is more careful about finding a person who's careful with the yuchzin. Aval itza de lo kimle bi yuchzin emaloni havi kudusheha kidushin. So he says as follows, that there's a logic to thinking that this would apply in the case of a man, the father looking for kiddushin, that would not apply in the case of the woman herself. Why? Because the father, men are more careful about yuchzin. So therefore, if a man is doing the seeking, he's going to be more careful. So what is this? So therefore, what does that have to do to tell us why we need both cases? Because when the woman appoints a shliach, the Gemara assumes that the shliach that the woman appointed is a man. So therefore, if the shliach would be a man, so it's possible that the halacha would be different because the woman would say to herself, in my case, it's okay, I'm gonna let the shliach do it better than me because he is more skilled in finding someone who has good yichus. So if you have someone of good yichus, so therefore she would say the fact that I went out and had kiddushin, that I've got kiddushin for myself, was only in case the shliach didn't find someone. But I'd rather defer to the shliach versus the case of the man. The man, there's no difference whether he does it or she does, whether he does it or the shliach does it. It's both the same. So therefore, I might say that the father's, in the case of a man, the father's shlichus, the father's kiddushin counts even if he did it. If he did it before the shliach, but in the case of the woman, I would say that it doesn't work like that, and that really, even if she did her kiddushin first, it doesn't matter because she would rather have the kiddushin of the shliach because a man is more careful with the yuchzin. The iash minan gabi dida. What if it only told us the case by a woman that she sent a shliach, and then the shliach was mekabel it? So you say mishum de itisa daika uminseva. So you might say that why is this halacha only true by a woman? Because a woman cares about the yichus. Why? Because she's the one who's going to be married to this person, and she's going to deal with the consequences of a bad yichus. So she says to herself that I value my acceptance of kiddushin more than the shliach because I'm going to be more careful because I'm the one who has to suffer with the consequences. So therefore, maybe the halacha is only true by a woman, but it wouldn't be true by a man, because the man isn't the one who's getting married. So therefore, you would say that in the case of a woman, the woman's acceptance of her own kiddushin trumps the shliach. But in the case of the man, you would say that maybe the father just did it, said, look, I give the shliach first chance. If he gets around to it, great. And then the kiddushin that I accept is not valid, because I'll wait for him. In case he doesn't do it, my kiddushin will work. So therefore, that's why, so in the first case, is a reason why we would say that the halacha that he can trump the shliach is true by a man but not by a woman. And the second case is saying that the woman cares more because she has to deal with it, and therefore she would rather that her kiddushin trump the shliach, but maybe it wouldn't be true by a man. And so therefore, tzricha, you needed both cases. So how does this answer the other question of yochzin? Because you see that the central aspect of what's going on here in this mission, what's telling you the halacha has to do, centers around the question of figuring out who cares more about yichus, or talking about that. So through that, it explains why this Mishnah is here in Asar Yochzin. Okay, so with this, we're going to start a sugya that is one of the main sugyas in Shas about the rules of Chazakah. And we'll try and do in about a half hour what people in yeshiva spend weeks on this particular sugya. But in any event, the Gemara says, Itmar. So kitcha avia badarech, v'kitcha atzma be'ir, v'harei hi bageres. Okay? So the case is as follows, that the father, they're on the way, and the father does kiddushin for her, and then subsequently they get to the city, and the woman does kiddushin herself. So normally you would say that, assuming she's a nara or a katana, that the father's kiddushin came first, and hers came later, and therefore his should be valid. But there's a wrinkle to this here. Bahari hi bogeres. She is a bogeres. And we're going to understand exactly what is the case here in a moment. The Gemara is going to talk about it. But let's just remind ourselves of how a bogeres works and maybe introduce an angle that we've not focused on in the past. So, as we know, a woman is a ketana until she turns 12. When she turns 12 and has shtei sayer, she has two pubic hairs, so then she becomes a nara. We're generally under the understanding that from the time she becomes a nara, 6 months later, she becomes a bogeres. And the halacha is that, as we just discussed a minute ago, the father can be mekadesh his daughter if she is a ketana, if she's beneath 12, or if she's a nara. Once she becomes a bogeres, he can no longer do it. The fact that we haven't spent a lot of time on it, Mirtzeh Hashem, when we get to Maseches Nida, we'll learn this, that there are certain simanim that a girl can bring sooner that would make her a bogeres sooner. And we're going to see. So that's the way they're understanding right now, is that what happened was, this fine day, the father was mekadesh her in the morning, she was mekadesh herself in the afternoon, and then they checked her, and it turned out that she had become a bogeres. So the question is, when did she become a bogeres? If she became a bogeres in the morning before her father was ever mekabel kedushin, so if she's a bogeres, the father cannot be mekabel kedushin for her. And the fact that he did so is irrelevant, because she's already too old for her father to be mekadesh her. On the other hand, you could say, maybe what happened here is that the father did kedushin in the morning, she was a nara. His kedushin is valid, because a father is allowed to marry off a daughter. Then she became a bogeres, but that doesn't really matter, because she's already has kiddushin with this man. Then she did kiddushin. Anytime someone does kiddushin when she's already has had kiddushin, it's irrelevant. So in the first case, if we assume that she became a bogeres first thing in the morning, then her father's kiddushin is invalid and hers is valid. On the other hand, if she became a bogeres between the time that her father was mekabel kiddushin and the time she was mekabel kiddushin, or for that matter, after she was mekabel kiddushin, it doesn't really matter, as long as it's after the father was mekabel kiddushin, in that case, the father's kiddushin would be valid and her kiddushin would be invalid. So that is the question that we're talking about here, is which kiddushin takes effect in this case. Okay? So it's going to be a machlokas. Rav Omer Rav says, Harei hi bogeres lefaneinu. We have the fact that she is a bogeres now. And therefore, Rav says, the fact that when we checked her, she's a bogeres, we are going to assume that she was a bogeres since the time that we last knew, which wasn't today. And so therefore, if she's a bogeres now, we're going to assume that she was a bogeres in the morning before her father was mekabel kiddushin for her. And therefore, if she was a bogeres at that time, her father's kiddushin is irrelevant. What is the principle that Rav is relying on here? Is something called a chazaka dahashta. So let's just take a moment, take a step back. We've encountered chazaka many times. But chazaka is the concept that in a case, sometimes where you're trying to figure out what happened here, if there's a chazaka, which is a presumption that certain things happen, or certain people say things, or how they act, behaviors, if there's a chazaka, we could say that the chazaka, we treat it as if it's dispositive as to what happened here. So there are different kinds of chazakas, and the two of the primary chazakas which we're going to deal with today is a chazaka dahasha and a chazaka d'meikara. So to put this in context, it's relevant to the case we're dealing with right now. We're going to deal shortly with the case of a mikvah. What happens if you check the mikvah on Sunday morning, and the mikvah is a kosher mikvah? It has 40 sa', which is the measure you need for a mikvah. And people go in and are tovel themselves, and kalim go in and are tovel kalim. And then Monday night they check the mikvah, and they discover that the mikvah has less than 40 sa'. So somewhere between Sunday morning and Monday night, the mikvah became a pasul mikvah. And therefore, if it's not a valid mikvah, any people who went into the mikvah, or any kalim who went into the mikvah, are not going to have been removed from their status of tumah. So the question is, you could say, if you hold of a chazaka, the hashta, a chazaka of what's now, You're going to say, if right now the mikvah is an invalid mikvah because it doesn't have 40 saw, we are going to assume that it is invalid now, and it has been invalid since we last knew that it was valid. So therefore, in that case, anything that was put in the mikvah on Sunday or Monday, the mikvah was invalid, and therefore they're still tameh. The other option is a chazakah d'mei kara, which is the exact opposite, which is what we're going to say, is that the chazakah d'mei kara is that whatever was the last known status, we assume that that status extended until we know otherwise. So therefore, if Sunday morning we knew the mikvah was a valid mikvah, we're going to assume that the mikvah continued to be valid. And now, Monday night, when we figure out that the mikvah is in fact invalid, we're going to say that it just became invalid. That would be a chazakah d'mei kara. There's a lot of ways that people understand this sugya. Some understand that Rav, we're going to see Rav and Shmuel argue about this. Some understand that Rav and Shmuel are arguing about which is stronger, a chazakah d'hashta or a chazakah d'mei kara. Others understand that everyone agrees that a chazakah d'mei kara is generally the stronger chazakah, and therefore, whatever we knew to be the case, we assume extended until we know for certain that it changed. But you'll see that there's certain weaknesses in the chazakah d'mei kara here that maybe allow the weaker chazakah d'hashta to work. So in any event, Rav says, harehi bogeres lefanenu, she's a bogeres, and therefore we're going to assume that she was a bogeres since the last time we checked, which was before the father was mekabel kiddushin, and therefore the father's kiddushin is no good. Shmuel says, chashinan lekiddushei shneihem. No, we have to be worried that maybe she became a bogeres only after the father did kiddushin, and therefore Shmuel says that we have to treat it as if she might have had kiddushin with each of them, and at least one of them will need to give kiddushin for her to get married. So now, before we get into the details of the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, so Rav is of the opinion that chazakah d'hashta applies, and Shmuel says we don't assume that the chazakah d'hashta applies, and therefore we have a suffix. Now the Gemara is trying to figure out on what day is it that we had this question where the father was mekadesher and then she was mekadesher? Emas, when did this happen? Ilema basof shisha, if you're going to say it happened in the 6 months, because the regular case of bogeres we deal with is 6 months. So if you're going to say that it happened between the time she turned 12 and the time she turned 12 and a half, baha neima rav harehi bogeres lefanenu, in this case, would Rav say that the fact that she's a bogeres now means she was a bogeres from before? Hashtahu de bagra. Why not say that right now she became a bogeres? Why? Because women, ordinarily, somewhere between 12 and 12 and a half, become a bogeres, normally at 12 and a half. So why would you assume that she's been a bogeres for a long time? It's much more likely that she just became a bogeres, because in a sense, she's early in her bagros. So we're not talking... Well, in other words, what it's saying is that you know that, I think what it is that it's a weakness in a sense because it's happening earlier than anticipated.
But it's not most another chazaka that we apply to this.
I don't think it's a case of a chazaka against chazaka. No, so we say that it can't be talking about during the 6 months, because why would Rav say that we assume that she's been a bogeres for longer? Ela la'achar shisha. So okay, fine. So then say it's after the 6 months. So the Gemara says, "Bahan neima Shmuel chashinin lekedushei shneihem." Would Shmuel say that we have a suffix if this all occurred after 6 months? It's not even a suffix according to Shmuel. Why? Because v'amr Shmuel. Shmuel said, "Ein bein naris lebagras el shisha chadashim bovad." That Shmuel himself said that once 6 months passes, she's a bogeres. So she's for sure a bogeres. So what would be the question that we're dealing with? That would be a suffix. If it's after the 6 months, Shmuel himself is of the opinion that automatically when a woman becomes 12 and a half, she's a bogeres. So of course she was a bogeres in the morning, and of course the father's kiddushin was irrelevant. So what's the case we're dealing with? The Gemara says, lo tzricha, we need it, where it's talking about the kaddish bahu yuma the mashlim shisha. No, this is on her half birthday. She turned 12 and a half this day. This is the day that starting from that day forward, she's for sure considered a bogeres. So therefore, what's the significance of that day? The significance is, assuming that she's not a bogeres, this is the day she's going to become a bogeres. Now, the way Rashi understands, and the way people understand Rashi, is that Rashi's saying is this is a no man's land day. In other words, because we expect that she's going to change her status from being a nara to a bogeres, so she has no chazakas one way or another. That therefore, we assume that she does not have chazakas here, and so we're gonna talk about what happens here, how the interplay is between do we assume that it was what it is what it was, or it's something that became recently. So that's the case we're dealing with on the half birthday. So Rav explains harehi bogeres lefanenu, that when we checked her out, she's a bogeres. Midahashta bogeres, betzafer nami bogeres. From the fact that right now she's a bogeres, we're going to say that in the morning she was also a bogeres, and the chazaka dahashta would say that she is that she is a bogeres, and therefore her father's kedushin is irrelevant. Ushmuel Amar, and Shmuel says hashta hu daisi simanim. Now is when she brought simanim that she's a bogeres, and therefore we don't assume that she became a bogeres in the morning, and we assume that it happened right now. Okay. So we have a machlokas, Rav and Shmuel. Rav holds of chazaka dahashta, the idea that whatever is now, we extend backwards. And Shmuel is not comfortable applying that in this case, and therefore he says we're dealing with a suffix. So now, I gave you a preview for this Gemara. Shmuel, maishnami mikvah. According to Shmuel, who does not subscribe to the idea that whatever she is now, she was previously, why is this case different from mikvah? What's the case of mikvah? This non, because we learned in a Mishnah, we've encountered this before. Mikvah shenimdad v'nimtza chaser. If you have a mikvah that was measured and was found to be lacking the memsa, the 40 sa, but we know that at some prior point it had 40 sa, what's the halacha? Kol tahara shenasu agabov l'mafreya bein brishus ha-yachid bein brishus ha-rabim t'meyas. That the halacha is everything, all of the kalim that were put into that mikvah are considered to be. Well, it's two ways that the Rishonim understand this. One is that either, so we're saying that the halacha is that everything that went in that mikvah remained tameh. That going back to the last time we knew that it was tahar, it's tameh. And this business about Rishus HaYachad, Rishus HaRabim, so let's just remind ourselves, generally speaking, we've encountered this many times, that if you have a suffix in a matter of tumah, it depends whether you're in Rishus HaYachad or Rishus HaRabim. If you're in Rishus HaYachid, it's Tameh, and if you're in Rishus HaRabim, it's Tahar. We learn it out from Sota. Now, how does that apply here? Either that the mikvah, what the Mishnah is saying, whether the mikvah was in Rishus HaYachid or Rishus HaRabim, it doesn't matter that it's Tameh. Or you say the mikvah is wherever it was, it doesn't matter, but if you put Kalim in there, and then those Kalim touch something that was Tahar, did it become Tameh? And that happened either in Rishus HaYachid or Rishus HaRabim, it doesn't matter, it's Tameh. So basically what you're seeing from this, and this is one of the interesting aspects of Chazaka, which is that when we have a valid Chazaka, we treat the presumption as a fact. So therefore, when do we make a distinction between Rishus HaYachid and Rishus HaRabim is where you have a suffix. But if you have a Chazaka, then you don't have a suffix anymore, and it's an absolute fact. And therefore, it doesn't matter, it's not considered a suffix, it doesn't matter whether it's Rishus HaYachid or Rishus HaRabim, it's considered Tameh. That's the Mishnah there. How does that relate to what we're learning? We don't have to focus on the Rishus HaYachid or Rishus HaRabim part, we're focused on the fact that the halacha is that whatever went into this mikvah is considered Tameh since the last time you checked and made sure the mikvah was Tahar. So what do you see? That is a Chazaka Dahashta. It's saying the status of the mikvah now extends backwards. We don't start from the beginning where the mikvah we say was tahar, which would be a chazaka to make kara and say till we know it's tameh, it stays tahar. We do the opposite. We say chazaka dahashta, right? So we're saying that the status now extends backwards. So the question is, this is a kasha on Shmuel, because Rav said to us that the woman's status is a bogeris now. Once she's a bogeris, it extends backwards till we knew. So that's fine with the mikvah, because similarly, the mikvah is not valid, so therefore everything's tameh extending backwards. But according to Rav, who is not comfortable saying a chazaka dahashta, why not ask on him from mikvah? Because in the mikvah case, you see chazaka dahashta. It's a question on Shmuel. I'm sorry if I said the wrong thing. Okay, so it's a question on Shmuel. You're right. I'm sorry. So Shmuel was the one who was not comfortable saying chazaka dahashta, but you see in the case of mikvah that we apply chazaka dahashta. So the Gemara answers, Shani Hasam, the case of mikvah is different than the case of Bogeris. Why? The Ikar Lameimar Hamad Tameh Al Chezkaso. Because you're focusing on the mikvah, and you're talking about whether the mikvah status applies backwards or the mikvah status applies forward. They're saying that the halakha over there could be dependent on a different chazaka altogether. Not a chazaka about the mikvah, but rather a chazaka about the person or the kalim. So when you have a person who's Tameh, or you have Kalim that are Tameh, and you stick them in a mikvah, so the question is, why not say that rely on the chazakah that the man or the Kalim were Tameh, and therefore, when they get dunked into a mikvah, and it's not clear whether the mikvah is valid or not, we keep them in their status of Tumah. So it has nothing to do with a chazakah the hashta. We're not focused on the mikvah and saying, since the mikvah is puzzle now, it was puzzle then. Rather, we're focused on the thing that went into the mikvah, the person or the kalim, and we say, since it was puzzle, since they were in a status of Tumah, which was the chazakah d'mei kara, that therefore that's going to carry forward. So basically, just to be clear, we had a kasha as follows, that Rav and Shmuel have a machlokas. Rav says we have chazakah d'hashta, and Shmuel's not comfortable with that. So we bring the case from mikvah and says, mikvah, you see that everything's tameh, so must be because it's tameh now, therefore it's tameh backwards. The chazakah d'hashta, you see that chazakah d'hashta works. So the Gemara is answering, says, the case of mikvah is not a chazakah d'hashta, it's a chazakah d'mei kara. What's the chazakah d'mei kara? Because since the person was tameh, so therefore, until we know otherwise, we extend that status of tumah, and therefore the entire time the mikvah was tameh. So that's the answer why it's not a question on Shmuel, because he'll say this is not a case of chazakah d'hashta at all. What you're seeing in the case of mikvah is chazakah d'mei kara, that we're extending the status of the person or the kalim forward in their status of tumah. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, it's a hemet tameh cheskas of emer lo tavol, that you could say that you keep the person or the kalim in their status of tumah and say that the fact that they went into this mikvah doesn't change anything because we're going to say that they continue in their tumah. So the Gemara says, Adarabba, so I'll give that to you in the other direction in the case of Bogeres. I'll give you an opposite chazakah de Meikara. Hemet mikvah al cheskas of emer lo chaser. So the Gemara says, okay, if you want to talk about chazakah d'mei karas, so forget the chazakah d'hashta of the mikvah, you could say the chazakah d'mei kara of the mikvah also. Why? Because it works as follows, that he's saying that if you're right, that we should look at the chazakah d'mei kara of the person or the kalim and say that they're tamei, and therefore their status carries forward, so I'll tell you, look at the chazakah d'mei kara of the mikvah, because when we measured the mikvah on Sunday morning, it was tahar, it was a valid mikvah, and therefore carry that all the way through till Monday night. And so you have now two chazakah d'mei karas, and they conflict with each other. So if you look at the status of the person or the kalim, it's tameh and it carries forward tameh. But they say, if you're talking chazakah d'mei kara, look at the status of the mikvah. Say it was tahar on Sunday morning, it was valid on Sunday morning, and therefore anything that went in it should remain tahar. So the Gemara is saying, how could you tell me that the Mishnah is not dealing with chazakah d'hashta, and it's dealing with chazakah d'mei kara of the kalim or the person? They said, if you want to talk chazakah d'mei kara, I'll give you my own chazakah d'mei kara of the mikvah, and they conflict with each other. So therefore, they should be knocked out, according to the way some people understand the Gemara, that you knock out the chazakah d'mei karas, and you're left with the chazakah d'hashta. If you're left with chazakah d'hashta, we're back to having a kasha on Shmuel, because Shmuel didn't like, he wasn't comfortable with the concept of chazakah d'mei hashta. So the Gemara says, because hare chaser lefanecho. No, the case of mikvah is different. Why? Because you rely on the chazakah d'mei kara by mikvah, but not by the person being tameh, and not on the mikvah. Why? Because at the moment, now when you check it, the mikvah is missing. It's missing 40 saw. So the Gemara says, well, so what? Halchanami hare bageres lefanecho. So here also, at the end of the day, we found a changed status. That's every case where we're dealing with chazakah d'mei kara. At some point, it changed. So if you are bringing chazakah d'mei kara of the tameh kalim, and you're saying the fact, what about the fact that the mikvah itself also has a chazakah d'mei kara that is tahar? He says, because that chazakah d'mei kara is weakened because the mikvah is chaser now. So you say, well, the same thing here. She was a nara, she became a bageris. So that's weakened. So the Gemara says, no, because in the case of Bagaris, hashtahu de bagra. Because we assume that right now she became a Bagaris, not before. So Gemara says back, hasam nami hashtahu de chaser. So why not say the same thing by the mikvah? In other words, we're dealing with a question of, you have the competing chazakah de meikara. So they're trying to say that the mikvah chazakah de meikara is less relevant. So you say, but each of the things they answer, say it's missing. They say this one's also missing. So, no, we assume it just happened. Says here also, we assume it just happened. So the Gemara is going back and forth. So therefore, it answers, Hasam tarti l'reyusa, hacha chada l'reyusa. He says the difference between the case of mikvah and this case of Bogeres, why Shmuel is not comfortable with the Chazaka de Hashta, is because in this case of Mikvah, there's two things detracting from the status of the Kalim or the people, and therefore we do apply a Chazaka de Hashta and say that everything's Tameh, versus here Shmuel is not comfortable applying it because there's only one negative. So there's a lot of ways to understand this, and the Achronim go all over the place. Let's just learn it as follows: in the case of mikvah, you have, along with the chazaka d'hashta, you have a chazaka d'meikara. Why? Because the chazaka d'hashta says that the mikvah is chaser now, so we're going to assume it was chaser before, and therefore everything should become tameh, and it's accompanied by a chazaka d'meikara. Which is what? That since the person or the kalim were tameh, we assume that since their status of tefillah is uncertain, we assume that their status of tumah goes forward. So we have a backward facing one that says that everyone should be tameh, and we have a forward facing one that says everyone should be tameh. So when you have a chazaka d'meikara and a chazaka d'hashta, in that case we're going to say we're certain and everything is tameh. So why is it different in the case of bogeres? Bogeres, we're going to say there's only one. There's only a chazaka d'hashta. There's no chazaka d'meikara. Why? Because that goes to something I was explaining before with Rashi. So there's a chazaka d'hashta. What's a chazaka d'hashta? Say she's a bogeres. Something changed. Do we assume that changed status carries back to the last time we checked, and therefore she was a bogeres since yesterday, and when her father does kiddushin, it's irrelevant? Or do we not apply that? So you have a chazaka d'hashta that says she's a bogeres, and therefore the chazaka d'hashta would tell us she was a bogeres when her father married her. Now you ask, and why not say chazaka d'meikara? Say chazaka d'meikara, because what was she previously? She was a nara. If she was a nara, so say, okay, I have a competing chazaka d'meikara, which says she was a nara before, therefore I'm going to assume she was a nara till the last moment we know otherwise, which is now when we check her. If she only became a bogeres from her status of naras right before we checked her, then in the morning when her father was mekadesh her, she was still a nara. So why not say we have a chazaka d'meikara in that case? So the Gemara is saying that's not a valid chazaka d'meikara. Why? Because of what Rashi said before, which is the idea that since this is the day that she's expected to change her status, so we don't apply a chazaka d'meikara. We don't say since she was a nara, we assume she continues to be a nara, because today's the day we're expecting her to change. So it's a weird day to have an expectation that everything is going to stay the same as it was, because we know it's going to change, right? This is the day she's changing. So therefore, there's nothing to carry forward. So in the case of mikvah, you have both a backwards facing and a forward facing chazaka saying everything is tameh. So in that case, we say that the person or the kalim are tameh. In the case of bogeres, we have a backward facing thing that says she was a bogeres because she's now a bogeres, but we don't have a forward-facing one because the forward-facing one would be conflicting. It would say she's a nara, but it doesn't apply because today's the day she's going to change. So therefore, we say that in one case, you have a chazaka d'hashta supported by a chazaka d'meikara. In the other case, you have just a chazaka d'hashta not supported by a chazaka d'meikara. And therefore, Shmuel says, it's a suffix. We don't know whether we should apply it. So again, our question was, why does Shmuel, and we're going to have a very similar case in a moment, so I'm spending a lot of time to make sure we get this. The question originally was, why does Shmuel not feel comfortable applying a case of a chazaka d'hashta and saying the status now extends backwards? We see by mikvah you do that. So we're saying, no, mikvah is different because you have chazakas in two directions, both saying that the person or the kalim are tameh. So you have a backward and forward facing chazaka, and therefore it's for sure tameh. As opposed to the case of bogeres, you have a chazaka d'hashta only. You don't have a corresponding chazaka d'meikara, and therefore Shmuel says in that case it's only a suffix.
Can I ask one thing? I don't understand why we go with the mikvah. If we say that the chazaka d'hashta is now that it's chaser, why would we go back and say it's chaser meikara when we mentioned it?
No, what you would say is that a chazaka d'hashta tells you if the status now is that the mikvah is chaser, we assume that it was chaser since we last knew it was male. Right? So therefore, in the case we gave before, Monday evening you measure the mikvah, and it's chaser. So you say, at this point, chazaka d'hashta would tell you, you would take that status and extend it backwards till the last time we knew otherwise, which was Sunday morning. So therefore, the period from Sunday morning to Monday night, it was a missing mikvah. So that would say that things should be tame. You also have the chazaka d'mei kara, which tells you that the status of the kalim or the person on Sunday morning was that they were tame. And since we don't know for certain that we had a valid mikvah that changed it, we assume they stay in their status of tame, right? So for a different reason, both chazakas would say that Sunday night, for example, that they should be tame, because the person continues in their status of tuma, and the mikvah is considered to extend backwards as an invalid mikvah.
It's bidirectional. The mikvah is bidirectional. You can't fix it.
It's bidirectional, meaning in both directions, yes. It's telling you that they're tame.
Right.
Therefore, you're for sure tame. Versus the case of Bogeris, it's only one direction saying that she was a Bogeris, so that is enough to create a suffix, in Shmuel's opinion, but it's not enough to say for certain that she was a Bogeris from before.
So the girl has two statuses, that say Nara and Bogeris on the same day.
Well, she doesn't have a Nara status because this is a unique day. This is a day she's going to switch.
Nara in the morning and a Bogeris in the afternoon. The same day she has two statuses.
Okay, I think the way they understand it is that when the day starts, that she has no status of from before, which makes sense because what's the reason we have a chazaka de meikara? Because we're saying whatever is goes forward in the same way. But we know that that's not the expected thing. She's supposed to turn a Bogeris today. So therefore, we lose that status of going forward that she's a Nara, and she's kind of a clean slate, except that we now have a Chazaka Dahashta, because it turns out we checked, and she had actual Simanim of Bagros. So the question is, we're going to say that it should go backwards and say that she was a Bogeris since the morning, and therefore when her father did the Kiddushin, it doesn't count.
So it's never...
I think we should continue. I'm sorry.
Okay. It's complicated. I'm sorry. So
the 6 month day. I want to think that's actual 6 month.
The 6 month
that's
day.
That's the actual day.
That was the beginning of the Gemara. The Gemara.
This works.
Correct, okay. Because that's the reason. That's the reason she does not have a chazaka d'meikara. Okay. So we say. Hasam tartel reyu. So there you have two things saying that she become tamei. Both the chazaka d'hashto that is missing and the chazaka d'meikara that is tamei. Hachachadel reyu. So therefore it's one l'reyu. So okay. So now we finish that. Now we're going to ask this very similar question. Ushmuel ma'ishno mechavis. How will Shmuel explain the case of chavis? The sanya, because we learned sanya is normally a brisa. I think this is actually a mishnah that hayabodek as a chavis. So the case is as follows. That what people used to do, as we know, you need to take truma from let's say your wine, right? So what happens here is that he has barrels of wine, and when he would want to take barrels of wine, what he would do is he would have a separate barrel, and he would say, this is my truma barrel where I'm going to take truma from. So whenever I take a barrel, I'm going to designate some of the wine in this truma barrel as truma. And each time he does that, he uses more of the barrel. And then at the end, the whole barrel is truma, and he gives it to a kohen. So instead of from each time he takes a barrel, pouring some off somewhere else and saying that's for the kohen, he has a truma barrel that he keeps making more and more truma, and when it's finished, he gives it to the kohen. So all that is good, but what's the problem? The problem is that at some point they looked and they discovered that the barrel he'd been taking truma from had spoiled and become vinegar. And again, Rishonim understand different ways. Either the fact that you can't take vinegar as truma for wine because it's min b'she'eno mino, or it's just the idea that since he had in mind to give wine and it turned out that this was vinegar. But in short, we're stuck with a case as follows: he's been taking truma every day from this thing, and therefore releasing other wine to become mutter to be eaten because truma has been removed. But if some of those separations of truma were invalid, because this had turned to vinegar, so then some of the wine he's been drinking or that he thinks has already had truma taken from it does not have it taken from it. Okay? So he was checking his chavis and he found that it was chometz. So it says, Kol gimel yamim vadai, that for 3 days it's for sure, mikan va'elech safek. From here on, it's a safek. Okay? And the Gemara in Baba Basra understands three ways of understanding this quote. Either, let's just assume that there's 10 days between the time he checked and it was for sure wine and the time he checked and it was for sure vinegar. So one opinion is that for the first 3 days after it was checked, we assume that it's still wine. Because when wine starts to spoil and become vinegar, it still holds its status as wine for 3 days. After that, we have to assume it was vinegar. The other opinion is that 3 days before it turns into full vinegar, it already has lost its status as wine. So therefore, the first 7 days might be okay, but the last 3 days are for sure already vinegar because it lost its status as wine a few days before it became complete vinegar. And the third opinion in Bava Basra is that both are true. The first 3 days are for sure wine, the last 3 days are for sure vinegar, and in between is a suffix. But in any event, that's what the Mishnah tells us, is that you have a case where it ends up being a suffix. V'raminan, and we ask the following question, Chavis amikvah. Why is this case of the barrel different than mikvah? How so? Because what do we say? We say those middle days, according to everyone, those middle days are a suffix. So it's a suffix, has the wine turned into vinegar or not? And we treat it as a suffix. Now the question is, in the case of mikvah, which seems to be a similar case, why do we say it with certainty and we don't say that it is a suffix? So the Gemara says, Mashna da hacha vaday, Mashna da hacha suffix. How come in the case of mikvah we say everything is vaday tamei, and here we say it's a suffix? And you would think it's the same thing. In other words, you're dealing with chazaka da hashta. You're saying that if now it's vinegar, it must have been vinegar before. Or you could say chazaka da meikara. If it was wine, it carried forward wine until you know otherwise. The Amar Reb Chanina mi Surya, and Reb Chanina from Surya said, Man tana chavis, Rebbe Shimon hi. So it says, you're right. Those are contradictory mishnayas, because the one that mikvah says it's vaday, and the one that the barrel says it's suffik. Why? Because the one that says the barrel is Rebbe Shimon. The gabe mikvah nami sveka mashvik, because he holds that the case of mikvah is also a suffik, the sanya, because we learned in a brisa, kol tahara shenasu agabav l'mafreya, that this is talking about the case of mikvah that's missing, all the taros that they did by putting it in the mikvah l'mafreya, retroactively, ben b'rishas yach, ben b'rishas harab, tameos, that they're all tameh. That's the case we had before of mikvah, that everything is tameh. Rabbi Shimon says, b'rishas harab, tahoros, b'rishas yach, tolin. Rabbi Shimon says, remember, we said before it didn't make a difference, Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah, because it's not a case of Suffolk. Rabbi Shimon holds it is a case of Suffolk, and therefore makes a difference whether it's Rosh Hashanah or Rosh Hashanah. So what do you see? The Gemara is explaining that the reason that the barrel case and the mikveh case, one case says it's Suffolk and one case says it's for sure Tameh, is because the one that says it's Suffolk is Rabbi Shimon, who holds in both cases it's Suffolk. But what do you see? Avalo Rabbanon, Tevel Umafreya. But in the case of Chavis, you see that it is Tevel going backwards. So in other words, presumably, Shmuel holds like a Chachamim, not like Rabbi Shimon. So we see that even in the case of Chavis, Rabbi Shimon would, I'm sorry, even in the case of Chavis, that Shmuel should hold of Chazaka de Meikara. Why? Because the Chachamim would say that since when you check it now, it's vinegar, we assume it was always vinegar. And according to the Chachamim, we assume it was always vinegar, so you see that they apply a chazaka dahashta. So this is going to be a very familiar Gemara. So originally the Gemara asked from mikvah, now it established that mikvah and chavis have the same halacha. So before it asked from mikvah, now it's asking from chavis. And the Gemara is going to be exactly the same. Shani hasam, it's going to be different here. The iklam emar hemet tevel aches kasal, the emar lo niskin. So he's going to say that why do we say in the case of a barrel that we assume the chazaka dahashta? Because not only do you have a chazaka dahashta going backwards to say that the wine had turned to vinegar, but you also have a chazaka that the tevel, which is the barrels he's trying to separate wine from in order to say truma's been removed, they're in a status, till truma's removed, they're in a status of tevel, and they can't be eaten. So therefore, you have a chazaka dahashta that says it turned to vinegar, it must have turned to vinegar back when. And you have a chazaka to meikara saying that it had been tevel, and therefore, since the hafrasha, the separation you did, was not clear that it changed its status, we keep it in its status of being tevel. So you have now a chazaka de meikara. So the Gemara says, Adarabba, I'll tell you, I have a competing chazaka de meikara going the other way. Hemed yayin al cheskosav emer lo hichmetz. So why not say that there's a chazaka de meikara that says, once upon a time you checked and the wine was wine, so assume that it carried its status of wine forward. So the Gemara tries the same thing. It says, no, you can't, that's not a good chazaka de meikara, because harei hechmetz lefanecha, it turned to vinegar. So don't assume that it carried forward as wine. So the Gemara says, hochanami harei hi bogeres lefanenu. So you're asking on Shmuel to say the same thing. Clearly she's changed. She used to be a Nara, now she's a bogeres. So the Gemara says, okay, but in the case of bogeres, it's different, because hashtu hu de bogeres, she became a bogeres now. So the Gemara says, hochanami hashtu hu de hechmetz. I'll say the same thing. So say that the wine just turned to vinegar now. So So the Gemara answers, same as it did before. There you had two things going to Reyusa, because you had a chazaka, the hasha, that said if it's vinegar now, it must have been vinegar since 10 days before. And the produce that you're trying to separate wine from to make it edible, that is not tevel, that also is, since it's uncertain that your separation was valid, that chazaka also carries it forward. Hachachada l'reyusa, but here in the case of Bulgaris, you only have one l'reyusa, you have a chazaka the hashta, that she's now Bulgaris, but you have no corresponding chazaka to Meikara, because this is that no man's land day. So same exact teretz. Okay. Neima ketanoi. Let's say that this is like a machlokas tanayim. So we're gonna try twice now to say it's a machlokas tanayim. That really the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel is the machlokas tanayim. So the Gemara says as follows. Let's just take a moment, a step back. We're familiar with a matna shchiv meira. So matna shchiv meira is if someone gives away all of his assets, when he's very ill, and then he gets better, the gift is reversible. Why? Because we say that, why would someone give away all their assets? Only because he thought he was gonna die. So obviously, since he didn't die, he was under a mistaken pretense, and therefore, he's able to pull back the gift. So the question we're dealing with is as follows. A guy that does a gift and gives away all his assets to someone. And then the guy comes and says, okay, give me the assets. He says, no, I said that. He says that he said that when he was a shchiv meira. And the guy says, no, you're a healthy person now. And, you were healthy then. And therefore, all you did you don't have the protection of matna shchiv meira, because when you did it, you weren't a shchiv meira. Which, by the way, in the poskim, they say that someone who's going to give a matna shchiv meira should say in the contract that he's a shchiv meira, because it protects him that if he lives, he can get it back. But in any event, you have these two people arguing. It says, mi motzi miyad mi. So who's going to take the...
Why do you say he was well then? The only reason he did it was because he was a shchiv.
We don't know. Maybe he wanted... Or the guy who's entitled to the assets says this was a general gift. You weren't sick or anything. You were running around playing tennis. So then, your assets are mine. Okay. So mi yotzi miyad mi. Mi motzi miyad mi. Who can take it from whose hands? So we say who motzi miyadim below raya, that the guy who says he doesn't have to prove that he was sick, he could just take it back. The hein ein motzi miyadim below raya, and those to whom he wrote over his assets can't grab them from him without a raya. Basically, divrei Rabbi Yaakov, these words are Rabbi Yaakov. What Rabbi Yaakov is saying is that hamotzi mechavero al varaya, that he has the money, it's his money. And the burden is on them to show that he was healthy. He doesn't have to show that he was healthy, right? But what do you see? Rabbi Nassan says, in barihu alav lahavi raya, if at the time they get into this argument, he is a healthy person, then he has to prove that he had been sick when he transferred this. That he has to prove that he was sick. If now, when they're arguing, he's still on his deathbed, they have to prove that he was a bari. So what do you see? You see that according to Rabbi Nassim, you look at his status now and say, we assume that was his status before. If he's healthy now, we assume that he was healthy then when he gave it over, and therefore he needs to demonstrate that he was sick, because the chazaka says that he was ill. I'm sorry, the chazaka says that he was well. Conversely, if he's now still sick, he can say, since I'm sick now, I was sick then, and you have to prove that I was well. So what do you see? You see Reb Nassan has the concept of chazaka d'hashta, and Reb Yaakov does not. So nemo Rav d'amar k'Reb Nassan. So why don't we say Rav, who holds of chazaka d'hashta, says like Reb Nassan, who Shmuel d'amar k'Reb Yaakov, and Shmuel says like Reb Yaakov, who says that we don't look at the chazaka of what he is now to be dispositive. So I'm l'cho Rav, so we're going to see the structures. Both Rav and Shmuel are going to say, no, they could both hold like me. I'm l'cho Rav. Rav would tell you, anoda amri afilu k'Reb Yaakov. I would tell you, even like Reb Yaakov. So what is he saying? He's saying that we always apply chazaka d'hashta. So why in that case, or we normally apply chazaka d'hashta, according to Reb Yaakov or Reb Nassan, but in this particular case, Reb Yaakov does not apply chazaka d'hashta, and Reb Nassan does. Why? Because ad kan l'kam Reb Yaakov hasam de'ikol lememer hemed mamon al chezkaso. Avahacha mi nemo hemed guf al chezkaso. He's saying as follows, because in the case of money, a man has a chazaka that the money is his. So amotzi mechavero al varaya. So that's why, even though we normally have a chazaka d'hashta, there's still, it's even a chazaka d'hashta just tells you that we assume a certain circumstance. But the fact is, if someone has the money in his possession, hamotzi mechavero of a raya, and a chazaka is not enough to bring a raya. Versus, in the case of of Bogeres, we have no chazaka to stand it on. Why? Because it's that no man's land day, and there's no chazaka to stand it on. So therefore, in a case of money, it's hamotzi mechaver of araya. But in the case of Bogeres, you don't have it. So Rav is saying, I who hold of chazaka da hashta, both Rabbi Nassin obviously agrees with me because he applies chazaka da hashta in the case of the Shriv Meira, and even Rabbi Yaakov, who doesn't apply it, that's only because there it goes against Hamotzi Mechavero of Araya. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel say, Anod Amri Afilu Rabbi Nassin. Even Rabbi Nassin agrees with me that generally speaking, we don't just say a Chazaka da Hashta. Ad Kamala Kamar Rabbi Nassin Hasam, that it's not, that the, why did Rabbi Nassin say that we have to, that we have to, that we go with whatever the current status is, since he's a Bari, he has to prove that he was sick. It's not because of Chazaka de Mehashta, rather, why? The Kuleyama Bechazkas Briyam Kaimi. That everyone is in a status, generally speaking, people are in a status that they are healthy. There's a general assumption that people are healthy because, thank God, most people in the world are healthy. And only a few people are sick. So, Mandaka Mapik Nafshe Mechazaka, Havile Lasuye Raya. So therefore, why did Rabbi Nassin say that if he's well now, we say he was well before, and he needs to prove that he was sick? It's because it's not only a chazaka da hashta, but it's accompanied by a general chazaka that people are well. So you have two chazakas going in that favor, and that's why he needs to bring a raya. Aval hacha mikom mafka nafshi mechazaka de kamei. But in this case of Bogeres, who said that he's taking himself from a prior chazaka, because again, we're in this no man's land day, and there is no prior chazaka. So therefore, both Rav and Shmuel will tell you that this is not a case of Tanayim who argue. Nema Kahani Tanayim, maybe this other machlokas Tanayim would be what? It's the same case that we've been dealing with, but now we're dealing with two brises. Kitcha via Baderech, her father was Mekadosh her in the morning on the way, Vekitcha Atzma Be'ir, and then she took Kiddushin herself in the city, Varehi Bogeres, and she's found to be a Bogeres, Tanachada Harehi Bogeres Lefanenu. One brisa says she's a Bogeres in front of us, and therefore you have a Chazaka da Hashta that since she's a Bogeres now, she must have been a Bogeres in the morning. So you have a brisa like Rav. The Tanya Yidach, we learned another brisa that says Chashina LeKiddush Shneim, that we're worried that both of them were valid Kiddushin, and therefore she has to get Gittin, she has to get a get from at least one of them or both of them. And that is like Shmuel. So my Lav Chag Karav, we see one brisa like Rav, the Chag Kishmuel, and one brisa is like Shmuel. So don't just say it's a machlokas amarayim. You see that there's brisas that argue about the same thing. So the Gemara says, lo, idi v'idi kishmuel. It's true that they can't both be like Rav, but they could both be like Shmuel. Why? Kam b'machashto, kan b'she'en machashto. So he says as follows, that the brisas could both agree that we don't apply chazaka d'hashto, but where would you apply chazaka d'hashto? Where she is protesting. So what's the case here? It's saying, if you have a woman that her father was Mekadosh her in the morning, and she was Mekadosh herself in the afternoon, and then she was found to be a Bogeres, and she's saying, I know this morning I became a Bogeres, I saw the Simonim. So in that case, we're going to say that the Chazaka da Hashta, coupled with her insistence that she was a Bogeres, that's enough. And that's why the Brisa says that we assume, that we look back and assume that she was a Bogeres. But in the case that Rav and Shmuel argue, we would say that everyone agrees that it's not enough. That it's not enough to just apply Chazaka da Hashta. If she's not protesting and saying I saw the Simanim, then it's not enough to apply Chazaka da Hashta, and it's a suffix. So therefore, we're saying that according to Shmuel, Lav Davka, the fact that you have a Brisa going either way is Lav Davka because they argue. Maybe they agree, and in one case it's where she's protesting, in the other case where she's not. So the Gemara says, okay, so you're telling me that the Brises don't argue with each other. The name of Yidmasnisa lo pligi amarai nami lo pligi. So why have we been going all along assuming that Rav and Shmuel argue? Why not say that Rav, who said his halacha, that you look backwards, that she's a Bogeres, now she must have been in the morning, is coupled with when she is saying herself that she was a Bogeres. And Shmuel, who said it's a suffix, is where she's not saying anything. So why not say, just like you're saying the Brises don't argue, say that Rav and Shmuel don't really argue, and they're just dealing with different cases. So the Gemara says, "V'tizbra." And do you think that makes sense? Har Rav Yosef, brother of Menashe, midvil of it uvda kavasi the Rav. Rav Yosef, the son of Rav Menashe from Dvil, paskin like Rav, and he said that when she was found a Bogeres, it must be she was a Bogeres since the morning, and therefore her father's kiddushin is invalid, and she's married to the second person. So that's a big chiddush because we're not making her get misafik. The ikbid Shmuel was upset. And he said, "V'amar kulei alma kailei bekabazuta." Most people think they have a small measure of brains, that they, you know, that they are given a certain amount of chokhmah. Behind me, and these people think that they were given more brains than everyone else, and that they know enough to say that we're going to apply chazaka da hashta, and they're going to paskin like Rav, and not like Shmuel. So what do you see? You see Shmuel was upset when someone paskin like Rav. If you think that Rav and Shmuel, because remember what we're trying to say here, that maybe just like the Brises don't argue, Rav and Shmuel don't argue, then Amayka Makbid. Why does Shmuel get upset? If you're saying that someone passing like Rav, and Rav only says his halacha when you have the woman protesting together with the chazaka d'hashta, so why would Shmuel argue? We say Shmuel himself agrees to that. So if we see that someone passing like Rav and Shmuel was upset about it, it must be because Rav and Shmuel argue. If you think lo pligi that Rav and Shmuel don't argue, I might come makbid. Why was he angry? Maybe the case when they passed like Rav was where the woman was saying along with the chazaka that she was a bogeris. So, therefore, we cannot say that they're not arguing. And in fact, Rav and Shmuel do argue. Amalei marzucha l'ravashi, hachi amar amemar, or marzucha said to Ravashi, thus said amemar, hachosak avasi to Shmuel. The halacha is like Shmuel that we say, that there's a suffix and we don't rely solely on chazaka d'hashta. Rav Ashi says hilchas kavasei d'rav. The halacha is like Rav, and the Gemara says v'hilchas what the halacha is kavasei d'rav. We paskin in accordance with Rav.